of Jesus. At this time, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church. And for everyone else, I invite you to open a Bible if you have one.
Hello.
Or hello.
I don't know if you noticed, but I snuck a slide in the opening slides at the beginning of the service that reminded, hopefully, all of us that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And not that we're going to make a big deal out of it, because we don't. But I had a suggestion, or at least an idea that popped in my head, and that is, since we really ought to be appreciating our pastor and his family all throughout the year, how about in whatever month your birthday falls, when you are thinking about your birthday, because I'm sure you're going to remember that sooner or later, also think, hey, this would be a good time to just say thanks to him and his family, right? Okay, so we can do that throughout the year. That way we don't have to all just kind of load it up in one time. But I will say, it's scriptural, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. That's you. And so we do want to recognize that. And I'll just throw a short blessing out at you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And in this case, because you're about to preach to us, wisdom.
Amen.
So let the Spirit fall. Love you, brother.
I love you too. Thank you. Thank you, Harry, and thank you, everyone. It is a joy to be able to share life with all of you, and it's a privilege, so thank you. Thank you for that privilege, and as Harry said, preaching and teaching, let's get to it this morning. Matthew chapter 9 is where I would invite you to open your Bible if you have one, or a phone, tablet, whatever it may be. Feel free to do that. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to look at two passages this morning. Matthew 9, 18 through 26, as well as James chapter 5. Verses 13 through 18. And so as we would prepare to do that, let's just look to the Lord in prayer for his leadership and guidance in these moments. So, Father, we do rejoice in you. We are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to look into it. And, Lord, even as I would preach, teach this morning, we would ask even more that you, by your Spirit, would be our ultimate teacher and leading us into truth. And Lord, that you would use me in whatever way you see fit, even with my weaknesses and my failures and struggles, to be able to share your truth with your people. And so may we ultimately hear the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus this morning. So lead us into truth and lead us to a place where our faith grows, and that we might believe you more for the healing that Jesus has purchased. In Jesus' name, amen. So we sang Power in the Blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I was sharing with someone recently of just growing up in the church. Sunday morning, it would be kind of a mix of songs, but Sunday nights, it would be the first half hour of the service, everybody would be sitting around in the sanctuary and everyone would have a hymnal, and the music minister would sit at the piano and people would just yell numbers. Now, I can't, you know, not being a musician, I can't even imagine what that would be like to just hear a number, turn it, and then just start playing. The guy was quite gifted to be able to do that. But we would just sing hymn after hymn after hymn for about a half hour, and then the pastor would share a message for the next half hour, and we'd close in a song and response time, and that was Sunday night church. And there's power in the blood. It was always one of those that was just, you know, always had it in your mind. It was one of those that it's hard to not hear it a couple of times and have the words stick. There's something about the words, the peppiness of it, that just makes it stick. And so I was reminded of that this morning as we were singing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb, because it's because of the blood of Jesus that healing is made possible. And faith is that access to release the wonder-working power of Jesus to bring the healing that he has paid for. But faith can be one of those things that gets messy, right? Because there's a lot of promulgation today of the idea that if you just believe enough, if you just have, fill in the blank, enough faith, right? If you just have enough faith, then you will be able to basically get whatever you want to see happen if you just have enough faith. Well, friends, there are a lot of people who have really struggled because they don't have enough faith to see the things that they desire God to do in their life. And for many, that brings a level of shame, that brings a level of discouragement, may even cause people to say this whole thing of God is a sham. Friends, I want us to recognize this morning that in the broken world that we have, that we live in, that we saw evidence of yesterday, we live with the effects of for many, many, many years until Jesus returns. That in this world, we ultimately come to the all-knowing, perfect will of God. And we surrender to that. Because sometimes the things that we want to see in this life just don't happen, no matter how much faith we have. And yet at the same time, we live in this tension that we are called to be people of faith. Amen? Faith that believes God to do the impossible. And I believe until God says that he is not going to do the impossible thing that we are asking, that we need to continue to have faith for and ask that he will do it, until he makes it abundantly clear to us that in this life, it is not something that we will see. Friends, we need to be people of faith, people that wrestle with the discouragements and the frustrations, people that battle through the doubts and the struggles when we don't see it exactly when we want to see it, or we don't see it how we want to see it, that our faith is still unwavering in the one who brings healing, Jesus. You see, faith ultimately is about who our faith is in. And our faith object for healing is Jesus. It's not about how much you can believe. It's not about who you can turn to. It's ultimately about Jesus. Faith for healing is about Jesus. In this account in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, Matthew writes this. While he was saying this, and he is Jesus, while Jesus was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Talk about faith, right? All you gotta do is come and put your hand on her, even though she has died, and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. In the midst of going to this ruler's house, verse 20 says, "Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed.'" Talk about faith, right? Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. And when Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away, the girl's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And as you would expect, news of this spread all around that region. It's an amazing story, isn't it? Mark records this in his gospel in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 35. I encourage you to read it. It kind of fills out the story a little bit more, gives you some more detail, which I'll reference here. But here we have Jesus who is asked by a ruler to come to his house, believing that if he will just come to his daughter's house, to his house where his daughter has died, that she will live again. Great faith. And in the midst of this great faith, of this man just wanting Jesus to come to his house, there is a woman. A woman who we are told has been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Mark's account in Mark chapter 5 tells us that she had spent all of her money going to doctors trying to find a cure to her bleeding issue. But now, after 12 years, she had spent all of her money. Not only was she now broke, but she was still in the exact same condition as she was 12 years earlier. Talk about hopelessness. Talk about despair. Talk about a bad situation getting even worse. And she hears of Jesus. And while Jesus is on his way to this ruler's house, she believes, if I can just get through the crowd, if I can just get close enough that I can touch his cloak, I will be healed. The Mark account says that there are so many people crowding around. I mean, you can imagine, this is almost like a mob scene because everybody, Jesus is gaining popularity. The people are loving what he's doing. They're loving what he's saying. They're coming around. He can barely move through. The mob of a crowd is so close around him. And in the Mark account, it says that the woman came and touched his cloak, and immediately he stops. And he turns to his disciples and he says, "Who touched me?" Now that sounds like a pretty crazy question to ask. And his disciples respond that way and they say, "Master, look how many people are around you. Everybody's touching you." He said, "No, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me." He felt somebody touch him. And when someone touched him, power was released from him. There's power in the blood. There's power in Jesus for healing. There was power released, and as the power was released, instantly it says, the woman was healed. It's interesting what Jesus says to that woman when she acknowledges, "It was me. I felt like if I could just touch you, I believe that you could heal me." He says, "Take heart, daughter. Not your right belief of the scriptures, not your really good works, not your position in life, not anything. He says, your faith has healed you." See, there is a powerful connection between healing and faith. Faith is what releases the power of Jesus and the healing work to a life. It's faith. But it's important for us to notice, it's not faith in a doctor. It's not faith in herself. It's not faith in anything except a person, Jesus. See, Jesus is always the object of our faith for healing. He is the object of our faith for everything. But as we're talking about healing, he is the object of our faith. It's all about, I'm all in on Jesus. I'm going to put everything I have, all my hopes, all my beliefs, everything that I have, I'm going to put all my eggs in the Jesus basket. If he doesn't come through for me, I don't believe that anyone else or anything else can. It's an all-in kind of faith. And Jesus says, "Take heart, daughter. For your faith has healed you." You see, what we put our faith in is the critical issue. Though the quality of our faith or the quantity of our faith may affect when we see a breakthrough, the issue is always about the object that we have our faith in. For instance, if I decide, you know what, I think I can fly. And I begin to go like this. How well am I going to do? Now, how well am I going to do if I stand up on this chair and decide, you know what, I'm going to give myself a little head start. Okay? Get a little leap. Is it going to help me? Now, is it going to help me if I also, while I'm up here getting ready to go, before I leap, I begin to sing R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly? I believe I can fly. You know, sing along. You all know it. I believe it. So if I can just sing it and believe it and give it a little extra help with a little leap of faith. Get it? Leap of faith? Sorry, bad joke. I'm going to be able to fly, right? No. Why? What's that? I'm not a bird. And I'm not Superman. Because my faith is in who? My faith is in myself. My ability to flap hard enough, to jump from a high enough place, and to sing R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly on pitch. Which, that is a real problem. Now, what would happen, though, if I decide, you know what, I am going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive to the Pittsburgh International Airport, and I'm going to buy a ticket at a Southwest counter, and I'm going to go through security, and I'm going to go through the gate, and I'm going to get on a plane. Do I have a better shot of flying? Why? Where's my faith at? Is my faith in myself? Where's my faith at? In an airplane and a pilot, and all the people working behind it to get that big hunk of bolts in the air. See, the object of your faith is the critical issue. Friends, there is nothing wrong with going to a doctor. There is nothing wrong with having a surgery. There is nothing wrong with taking medicine. There is nothing wrong with all of those things. As long as, first and foremost, our faith is in Jesus. And if our faith in Jesus is so intense to believe that no matter what happens, I believe, even if it's a doctor or if it's a medicine or if it's a surgery or if it's a treatment or whatever it is, my hope is in and my faith is in Jesus. Just like that woman who says, if I can just get to Jesus with such deep desperation. Friends, that's the kind of faith that the Lord honors. I want to make clear as we talk about healing, it's not about if I just have the right faith that I'm going to get what I want. Because God ultimately is still in charge. It's ultimately still His will. But our role is to put desperate, utter dependent faith in Jesus, the healer, to trust Him that He knows best. Share a story with you later. But our faith, fully in on Jesus, who is the object of our faith. Because last week we talked about the fact that Jesus paid it all. At the cross, He paid in His shed blood, not just for the forgiveness of our sin, but for our healing as well. Which is why we can sing, there's power. Power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the faith object for our healing when it comes to the issue of faith and healing. Second thought is this. Jesus heals through the faith of His church, His people. That's what I mean by that. If you turn from Matthew back to the book of James. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, come to Acts, Romans, come to two Corinthian, big Corinthian letters. You run to a bunch of small ones like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Eventually, you'll come to Hebrews, which is a larger book. And right after Hebrews is a smaller five-chapter book, the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. James, the brother of Jesus, lays out what faith exercised in the church looks like for the issue of healing. And by following what the Lord has laid out through the scriptures, we are putting our faith, ultimately, not in a model, we are putting our faith in the one who gave the model, Jesus. He's the one who inspired the model. He's the one who, by the Spirit of God, instructed the model to be given for how faith is played out in the local church for their healing to come. James says this, James 5, 13 through 18. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Notice who is the one who raises a sick person up. The Lord. It's always him. We just get to be part of it. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. There are two groups of people in this passage that we are encouraged to demonstrate faith. The first group of people that is to demonstrate faith is the faith of the sick. The second will be the faith of the elders, of how faith looks like demonstrated in the life of the church. The faith of the sick. What does faith look like for the sick? Well, first, it looks like, verse 14, the sick person calls the elders. Notice it says, is any one of you sick in verse 14? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Who is the one who is responsible for calling the elders to be prayed for and anointed with oil? The sick person. You know, oftentimes, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with at the end of a service when we offer, if there is anyone who is dealing with a physical need or any kind of prayer need, to be able to say, hey, the elders will be here to pray. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Part of the role of a leader is to be able to make leaders available to be able to be used to minister and to pray for people. But understand this, if you are sick and you are in need of a physical touch or any kind of emotional, any kind of touch from the Lord that you need, the faith of the sick person or the faith of the person in need is demonstrated by following the instructions of Scripture to call the elders of the church. Friends, we need to be people who allow others into our lives and reach out for prayer help from one another. So often what we do is when things are so far down the road where, you know what? And I've heard people use this phrase, well, I guess all we have now left to do is pray. What should the first thing we do is? Pray. See, part of our faith should be exercised when we are in a place of need physically would be to say, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do, or one of the first things that I'm going to do as I'm walking through this, as I'm understanding what my issues are, is I am going to call the elders of the church so that they can pray. Friends, it is the act of faith on the part of the sick person to call the elders so that they may come and pray and anoint them with oil. And so that you may know who the elders are, I am one. Harry, who commandeered the moment here up here, and I'm thankful for that. Jim Straub and Joe Wolkowitz, these are the folks. And so come, call. You may come on a Sunday. And Tom, sorry. My bad, Tom. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. So whether it's on a Sunday or during a week, feel free to say, would the elders or would a couple of the elders come to pray and anoint with oil? The act of faith on the part of the sick person is to call the elders, but it's also to confess any known sin. Now, this is where it gets a little hairy, right? Verses 15 and 16 says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. When the elders come to pray for a person, the sick person should be prepared to confess any known sin. Why? Two reasons. One, it is a step of humility. It is a step of humility to come before another person and to acknowledge, this is where I need the Lord to forgive. There's another reason, and that is that oftentimes the issues that people are dealing with are not physical primarily. They are spiritual, manifesting themselves physically. There is a sin issue that is causing a physical manifestation of an ailment. For instance, I have seen in several people who have gone through ministry such as deliverance where they were dealing with some physical symptoms of various kinds. And through the course of praying through that, the reason that they were dealing with it in a number of the cases was bitterness and unforgiveness. There is something about bitterness and unforgiveness towards another person that will wreak havoc on the physical body. And many times, not all the time, but many times, some of the physical ailments that we walk around carrying, you can go to a doctor, you can go to a surgeon, you can take medicine, you can do all these things, and the root is not primarily physical. The root is spiritual. And so, you know, we get kind of uncomfortable when we talk about, oh, you know, confess your sins to one another. I don't think I want to call the elders for that because I'm going to have to confess my sin. Like, oh, man, they're going to, like, bring the light out. It's going to be like the interrogation room, you know, and hook you up to the lie detector and stuff like that. Confess your sins. Oh, it's really jumping there. You're not really telling us everything. It's not like that at all. It should be a grace-filled place where, guess what? You're not going to tell me anything I probably have never heard already. And if I would start unloading my stuff out on you, you're going to find out, hey, he's kind of messed up like I am. Because guess what? We all got stuff. Amen. And so part of the process of coming and being anointed and confessing any known sin that is present is not so that you can be shamed and you can be beat down and condemned and how, oh, man, oh, wow, I know who. Hey, listen to this one. It's nothing like that. It's actually for your freedom. See, the Lord loves you so much. Jesus loves you so much as the healer that he knows that one of the things that can be in the way of physical health and can be causing the sicknesses and ailments that we have is the fact that we've held on to stuff that needs to get out. That we need to confess brokenness to another human being. And so it's not about shaming, it's not about condemning, it's actually about healing and forgiveness and freedom. And so if there are areas of your life where there is physical, one of the first things you should be doing is just saying, Lord, is there anything spiritually, is there any sin in my life that is the root cause of this? And if it is, then we need to come to other brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to confess our sin. And what does the scripture say? If it is because of sin, we will be healed. I believe this is one of those promises of scripture. Not all the time are we going to have physical release of symptoms when we are prayed for by the elders. But if the root cause is sin, and we deal with that, repent and confess it, and that is the cause of our sickness, the Lord is faithful to and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and all the after effects that come because of it. I believe we can stand on that one in certain faith, that if it is a sin issue that is causing our physical, if we deal with the sin, the physical will leave. And so part of the role of the sick person in calling the elders is to confess any known sin that is there. It's for your good. It's for my good to regularly confess our sin one to another. The faith of the sick. Call the elders, confess any known sin. It's how Jesus begins to heal through his church. The second group of people is the faith of the elders. The faith of the elders, their role in faith is to pray and anoint with oil. Notice verse 14 again. If anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The elders demonstrate their faith by following what is commanded in Scripture. The elders are to pray in faith and anoint with oil. Now, oil in the Old Testament in Scripture was often a medical thing. Oils were used for medicinal purposes. But oils were also used whenever there was a prophet or a priest of a king who was about to come into office. They were anointed with oil, and that anointing set them apart for the work of the Lord. And so part of being anointed with oil is to say before the Lord, as the elders would anoint me, I am setting myself, and the elders are setting this person apart for the glory of God to be displayed. However the Lord would choose to work physically in your life, in this person's life, you're saying, Lord, my life, may I be set apart for your glory. May the healing that may come that you would bring, that I'm asking you for, may it give glory to you. Lord, if this healing is to be a short or a process, Lord, may the way I walk through the process, may I give glory to you. If, Lord, on this side of eternity, I don't get the physical healing that I'm praying for and I'm asking for, Lord, would you so set me apart and would your grace be so sufficient for me that people would watch me walk through suffering and say, how in the world are they walking through this like they are? And give opportunity to say, it is the Lord. His grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. In anointing with oil, the elders are coming in obedience to pray in faith and anoint with oil, but to be able to say, we are setting this person aside for the glory of God, apart for the glory of God to be displayed. There's one other piece to the oil. Throughout the scriptures, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And so in anointing with oil, it is an opportunity to welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm leaving and I'm going to the Father, and it's going to be better that I leave because I am sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come. So when the Holy Spirit comes and when the elders welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the life of the sick person, we are literally saying, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you release the ministry and the power of Jesus in this person's life? Because it's not anything about an elder. It's not anything about a person. It is all about him. And so we welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In anointing with oil, we are surrendering ourselves to the ministry and to the work of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. See, the original language would suggest that it's not just talking about the elders praying for one another, but it's each other, the body of Christ, praying for one another. In the Alliance, we believe that elders, that role of elder, that office of elder is held by men. But one of the beauties, I think, of this passage is this. It welcomes the diversity of the body of Christ, that you don't have to be a man only to come and to pray for the sick. It is the elders who are the ones anointing with oil, but the body of Christ can come around and can be present in a time where they are praying and joining in agreement, praying for one another. Ladies, I know that there would be things that you would be very uncomfortable coming to a man only to have prayer for. And so there's a beauty in being able to have men and women together coming before the throne of grace, holding up as the elders would pray and anoint with oil. There's a beauty to it. It's the role of the elders to pray and anoint with all oil, but it's also the role of the elders to exercise their faith in the Lord. Again, verse 15, it says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Who will raise him up? The Lord. If he sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And then Elijah is brought into this. Verses 17 and 18, "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." At the end of all this discussion on what is the model, how does faith get exercised in the church for healing, James brings in Elijah. Not a perfect man. He dealt with the ups and downs of life. He wasn't so rock solid that he never had struggles. He goes face to face with the prophets of Baal. God comes down, shows himself to be the one true God. And what does Elijah do? He runs off, hides under a tree, and says, "I'm the only one." He goes and feels sorry for himself. He hits his low depressive point. It's not about do you live perfectly. It's about righteousness. Are you living in right relationship with your God? And is your face squarely upon him? The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Friends, if you see anything in my life that would say there is unrighteousness present in the way that I live, conduct myself, please share it with me, because my effectiveness to lead you will be hindered. Your spiritual well-being will be hindered if there is something in my life that is keeping me from being righteous before the Lord. So you would be doing me a favor and courage. The scriptures always talk about it, doing it in love and gentleness and respect and all that kind of stuff. But it will be for your well-being as well as for mine if there are areas in my life that you see glaring that are saying there is unrighteousness there. Because how will I or anyone else be able to pray powerfully or effectively the prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous woman, is powerful and effective. Righteousness is key. Because out of righteousness, we are able to exercise our faith in the Lord. Jesus absolutely loves to use his people to bring healing. I don't understand why. Like, he could do anything he wants. And yet, he gives us the opportunity to be used in the lives of one another for his healing to come. Ultimately, he is the healer. He is the object of our faith. But friends, he's given us the awesome privilege of being people who exercise our faith in the Lord together, whether we are sick or whether we are praying, to welcome the healing power of Jesus into the life of one another. Isn't that a cool thing? It's amazing. As I was preparing for this message this week, an instance came to mind, and I just sense the Lord wanting just to share this story. A number of years back, there was a younger woman, a mother of a couple kids at the time, who was in church in our former church. And she had been dealing with some issues in her jaw and in her ear. And she had been to the doctor some, and really there wasn't a lot of clarity as to what was going on and how it was going to be dealt with. But she knew that it was probably going to require surgery. And so she felt deeply prompted of the Lord to come and talk to me and to say, I don't know that surgery is the way to go. I believe the Lord wants to heal me, and he wants to do it through the church. And so she said, I really would like for the elders to pray for and anoint me after church. This was during the week after the church on Sunday. And she said, I'd like to have some other people around, friends, people in my small group, all that kind of stuff, who have been journeying through this with me and who love me and I love them, to come around and we would pray after the service and the elders would anoint and pray for me. Can we do that? It took me about a half a second to say, yeah, absolutely, we can do that. Here is a young woman who is saying, I want to exercise my faith in the Lord and follow Scripture. The answer is always yes. So the Sunday came, we had the service. After the service, everyone gathered up in this part of the sanctuary, and there was, I think it ended up being like 25 or 30 people sitting around, and she was in the middle of it all, and we just began to say, Lord Jesus, would you come by your Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you come? We don't want to rush into this. We don't want to just pray and anoint, and boom, off we go. We want to just listen to what you want to do. So we blessed her. We just waited for the Lord for a few minutes. We prayed some prayers of dedication, some prayers of praise to the Lord for who he is and the great things that he has done in the past, and waited on the Lord for a few moments, and all of a sudden she said, I think I need to stop. I think I believe the Lord is asking me and is prompting me that this isn't about me. This is about praying for my son. Her son had multiple food allergies, and even that week had gone through some pretty serious reactions to various foods that he had eaten. She said, you know what? I thought that this was going to be about me, but I think we need to pray for him. And so we sat for a moment, and several people said, you know what, I sense the Lord is saying that as well. Let's do that. So we stopped, and she went back to the nursery where her son was playing back there with some other kids. And she brought him out, and we put him in the center there, and we began to gather around him, and we began to go in the same thing, began to wait upon the Lord, bless him, started to pray. One of the elders came and opened up the oil and began to anoint him with oil. You want to know what happened? The moment that he anointed her with oil, or him with oil, there was like a popping that went in her ear and in her jaw, and instantly she was healed. Now, her little boy was not healed that moment. His healing is ongoing right now. But in the moment that she surrendered herself and in faith said, you know what, this isn't about me, it's about him. And obedience was taken. And faith was exercised. The Lord touched her. Because faith is ultimately about him. And exercising it the way that he's called us to exercise it, in obedience. Friends, I don't know why God chooses to do it sometimes, and other times he doesn't. I don't understand sometimes why we think, oh, he's going to do it, he's going to do it, he's going to do it, and then nothing happens. But until he says stop, until he says, this is not what I'm going to do, we keep praying, we keep asking, we keep placing our faith in the Lord, whether we see the results or not. And sometimes it may even look like being so dead certain, like she was, the Lord's going to heal me, and then in that moment being like, you know what, this isn't about me. and having the Lord do it a totally different way. But her faith in the Lord never wavered. There is a powerful relationship between faith and healing. May our faith be in the healer, Jesus. And may we keep asking, may we follow what he has laid out for us in obedience, exercising our faith so that his kingdom might come, so that his will would be done here on this earth as it is in heaven more and more, and so that Jesus would be glorified. Amen. So, Father, I thank you that Jesus is the healer. He's the object of our faith for healing. We welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit to release the healing power of Jesus as we put our faith in him. Father, may we be people who take seriously your word of calling the elders to pray and anoint with oil, of confessing any known sin that we have, of elders and others coming around to pray and anoint in faith and exercising our faith in you to raise up those who are sick. Father, where we doubt, would you increase our faith? For the glory of your great name, I pray. Amen. I invite the worship team to come to lead us in a closing song. Just as you are singing and worshiping the Lord in these closing minutes, I want to just make available at the end of the time of our singing, as we would dismiss, that if there are any physical needs and the Lord's prompting you and just saying, come and be anointed, have the elders be available to do that, and anyone else who would want to just be around to be able to encourage and support and to pray and to agree together, we invite you to do that. But please understand, we want to follow what Scripture says. As you come, we're not looking to condemn, but just if there may be some spiritual roots, we want to be free. We want to be free from anything that hinders us. So we want to walk through James 5 clearly together to ask that the Lord would bring healing to bodies as he would lead you. Let's stand together and worship the Lord.
Matthew 11:28-29 says, and Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and meek in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
I sing, O the
So may our faith increase like the woman who said, if I can just touch his cloak, I will be healed. May our faith be more like that ruler who said, Jesus, if you just come, she will be raised back to life. Faith is the conduit that releases the healing power of Jesus into our lives. He is always the object, for he is the healer. May we come to him with the small and the major, trusting our Jesus for what is best, the care and the healing of our lives. So may the Lord bless you with increased faith. Faith to believe the healer is able to heal in this life and permanently in the next. May he increase your faith to believe him and to come to him in desperate faith. Go in his peace. Amen. And if you would like prayer, I invite you to come for prayer to be anointed. May the Lord bless you.